I like the way you gentlemen all dressed up for my speaking tonight. I appreciate that, wearing your tuxedos and everything. That's right. That's right. This is a special time of the year, right? Christmas is less than 2 weeks away. How about that, huh? Praise the Lord. Now, we all know that we don't really know the date Jesus was born. We can't find his birth certificate. And we know the year is somewhat in question, but the concept is that this is the time that we've chosen to celebrate his birth. Now, the reason it was picked on December 25th was it was a week before the new year. They started first by changing the year to the year of the Lord. That's what AD stands for, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And this is the only person that has ever changed the calendar. Now, think about that for a second. Jesus changed time. Buddha didn't change time. Confucius didn't change time. By the way, this is not on my notes, so. Allah didn't change time. Jesus changed time. He changed the way we think about time. B.C. before Christ, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Maybe it's off a little bit mathematically, but you know what? The bottom line is, the concept is that these people back in the day thought this was the most important event in the history of the world, that they changed time for it. And that excites me. That excites me a lot. Now, I came from a big Italian family back in the Midwest. Christmas, for me, was huge. Christmas started at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve. It ended 6 o'clock on the 26th. I kid you not. My aunt loved Christmas Eve. She threw the Christmas Eve party of all parties. We showed up there. It was a revolving door party. People came from all over the city. Everybody was welcome. We all had a great time. At midnight, the kids all walked to midnight mass. Then we walked back throwing snowballs at each other because it was Illinois. We had snow back then. And we had a great time. It was all about fellowship. Now, yes, the next morning the kids all got up and opened their presents, and that was great. Don't misunderstand me. But they went back to another aunt's house or to my mom's house, and we ate some more. We played Italian games where they count the fingers and the numbers, and I won't go into all that part, but it was a fun game. We played and fellowshipped. People came and left. Cousins came from 150 miles away. It was a great time. Now, some people had to work, so they'd go and come back and come and go and so forth and so on. But basically, the party lasted. And since there was so much food left over, they may as well throw on it the next day. Because these were Italians. How am I phrase this? My mother never did learn how to cook small. Let me phrase it that way. Okay, it just didn't happen, you know. Her stove has 10 burners. It has two ovens in it that are by 4 foot by 2 foot. Okay, and my wife will attest that. We did a lot of cooking in the house. And it was great. We didn't know we were poor. We had fun. We loved each other. And that's what Christmas was all about for us. It wasn't about the gift. I know that they say today it's over-commercialized, and maybe it is to a degree. But the bottom line is, Christmas is really about celebrating the birth of our Lord. Now, we just listened to a number of Christmas carols. I specifically asked the pastors to put them out. These were the Christian Christmas carols, the one that honored our Lord Jesus Christ. You go back for hundreds of years. These are the ones that they sang for hundreds of years, glorifying our Lord, our God. It's about the birth of our Lord. And for hundreds of years, for centuries, they have sung these songs. If you go back and look at the history of these songs and where they came from and where the times were at those times, you can tell where their hearts were. But their hearts were all about Jesus. Jesus being the Lord. Now, I know Easter is important, but without the birth, we couldn't have had the death. Amen? Am I right? Okay, all right. So I come to this big Italian family. And I loved all the big family. Fortunately, I married into a big Chinese Jamaican family. Okay? So I feel very good about that. Lord knew I needed a big family because I love families. I love all the family stuff, okay? But we had so much fun. We had so much fellowship, and that's all that really mattered. Now, what was really neat about our family, and even the Wongs are the same way, nobody was allowed to be alone on the holidays. If you know of anybody who was alone, you were supposed to call them up and tell them to come. It didn't matter. One year at the college I went to, there were some foreign students from Africa that were visiting, and they had nowhere to go on Christmas Day. They were welcome and made to feel like part of the family. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered. They just went, you don't want to be alone on the holidays. It was the most important thing. This is what Christmas love is all about. In the world, they call it the Christmas spirit. I call it the Christmas anointing. There is truly an anointing that is out all over when people act the way they act at Christmas time. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't quite act that way the way they should. But when they do act that way, there's something different about them. And people stop and people notice. And when we act as Christians act, as Christ wants us to act, people will notice. And at Christmas time, people do tend to do that more. Now, we sung those beautiful songs about the birth of Christ. There's a station, Coast 103.5, and since Thanksgiving, they played nothing but Christmas songs. I've been monitoring the station. And although it's a secular station, about every fifth or sixth song, they will put one of these about Jesus Christ on the air. And what that means is that the word is going out. There are secular people listening to those songs, and you know what? They're singing along with them. They're getting into it. They're singing, "This is my Lord." They're prophesying their own salvation. They're calling it into being. They don't know they're doing it, but I'm telling you, they're doing it. And that's exciting to me. God can use anything for his purpose. He can use a secular radio station to play his songs part of the time, and people are going to get saved because of it. A little sidebar, I worked with this Jewish guy. He was a really nice guy. But he was always saying, "Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh," he must have said that 50 times a day. Everything was Jesus Christ this. And he's Jewish. Another Christian guy I knew was really upset about it. I said, "Well, what's wrong?" He says, "Well, he keeps using the Lord's name in vain." I said, "No, he's prophesying his own salvation." One of these days, he's going to go, "Jesus Christ." The guy said, "Yes. You've been calling for it for years. Are you ready to believe now?" You know, God can use anything. He will. I believe that man's going to get saved by his own words. I really do. Praise the Lord. We can't go wrong with that. It was interesting. We had all these big Italian deals. And oh, gosh, we had lasagnas. We had raviolis. We had mortadella. We had capicolas. You know, I've got a fettuccine recipe that's heavy cream, butter, some seasonings, and four different cheeses. Even NASA cannot figure out how many calories are in this thing, okay? But what's interesting, even though I ate all that food, when I got married, I had a 34-inch waist. So that means this is all Jamaican Chinese, okay? Now, the truth is, I'm really not overweight. I'm just under tall. So I've asked God to heal this problem, so if I'm coming 6'4" one day, you'll know he's really done his job, okay? But it was joy. It was all joy for us growing up. One thing about Christmas, it's a great time of reconciliation. There are people that are estranged out there that long to be back with their family, that are hurting because they're alone. And Christmas offers that opportunity. You know, if you know somebody who's offended at you, it's real simple. "Dear John, I was thinking about you this Christmas. I'm sending you this card just to let you know I really care about you. I want you to have a Merry Christmas. And by the way, if I've offended you in some way, please forgive me. Give me a call if you'd like to get together." There's no fear in that. If he throws the card away, you're no worse off than you were before. But if he picks up that phone, you've mended a relationship. And that's what the birth of Jesus is all about. God wants a relationship with us. We should have a relationship with each other like that. Christmas is a time to do that. It's a time for forgiveness. You know, there were times in our family functions where some cousins that had some outs. You know, there were 80 to 100 of us at any point in time. And when the Christmas time came around, they just forgot about it, hugged each other, and started laughing and joking. And I remember fondly those times. And I remember how special it was. And Christmas time for many, many blessings. You know, we all know Rockefeller Center. Well, the story behind Rockefeller Center, one of the ones I really love, is that in the midst of the Depression, the Rockefeller family decided just to bless the workers in New York, and they built Rockefeller Center. Now, banks weren't lending at that time, so John D. wrote the check. Not a bad deal. But what was really amazing, the workers, to thank God, not to thank John D., but to thank God, put a Christmas tree up and decorated it. Because they had worked during the Depression. And Rockefellers liked it so much they kept the tradition. And that's why we have the Rockefeller tree today. The big tree is because a bunch of workers wanted to thank God. So when you see that tree on TV sometime, remember that's just an expression of thanking God for sending his son. Amen? One of my favorite stories about Christmas is that it's also about peace. During World War I, both sides wanted a truce on Christmas Day. And they called for it, and they had a truce. But the real miracle was that the second day, the 26th, nobody wanted to fire the first shot, and nobody did. So those soldiers, tired, worn out, exhausted, hungry, had two full days of peace, not just one. That's an Ephesians 3:20 blessing right there. That's God doing abundantly more than they could ask, hope, or think. I think it's great. Now, we listen to all these Christmas carols dedicated to Christ. You know, if you ever walk around and you hear some carolers going through the mall, you ever notice the mood change? I worked a lot in retail in my day growing up. I worked a lot. My uncle had a furniture store, and I worked in the clothing stores and things like that. And when those carolers came in, especially when they were dressed up in the medieval gowns, and they would sing the songs, you could feel the peace walking through the store. And the pressure kind of left a little bit as the anointing went through the store. And people didn't know what it was, but they could feel it. They could sense it. In my opinion, the most famous piece of music in the world is Handel's Messiah. Hallelujah. You know. The story behind that is very interesting, that Handel was on his deathbed. He had written multiple compositions. And he lay on his deathbed. He was a very successful person by those standards. But on his deathbed, he got the inspiration to do the Messiah. He got up and started writing it, even though he was very, very ill and challenged. When he was done, he was completely healed. But that's the power of the music. And we all sing songs. We know how strong the anointing is to the songs that we sing, be they Christmas carols or the other carols. It's what God has put forth for us. Sing those songs. Let people be healed as you're walking by singing a song. A lot of people say we should call this Happy Holidays. We shouldn't call it Merry Christmas. Politically incorrect. Well, again, I grew up in retail. I worked for a lot of Jewish guys. I'm going to tell you what, those Jews think Christmas was made for them. They don't care. They said Merry Christmas every walking out of their stores, man. They had no problem saying Merry Christmas to everybody. I'll never forget Rich Roberts. He called him Mr. Rich. He's finishing up a client one time, wrapping up an order for her, and he turns to me and says, "Hey, Jim, do you know why God made Gentiles?" I says, "Why?" He says, "Will somebody pay retail?" They were great people. And then I had my own business. I had restaurants. I had tailor shops. I had things I did. And, you know, in my businesses, I had Jews working for me. I had Buddhists working for me. I had atheists working for me. I had one Muslim working for me. You know, not a single one of them ever turned down their Christmas bonus. Never happened. No, I can't. That's not my God. I can't. Never heard that one. Oh, thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. So my thing is, if they cast that Christmas bonus, they accept Christ, man. Some way, somehow, Christ is going to get to them. We give presents as an act of giving. Now, the presents are based upon two basic principles, the first of which is the three wise men coming and presenting the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's what most people know. By the way, Peter Daniels, anybody here know who Peter Daniels is? He's a multi-billionaire from Australia. He was a functionally illiterate. He gave his life to the Lord. God healed his mind. He developed several, multiple businesses, and to this day, he's extremely, extremely wealthy. Well, he did an investigation. He used to hire people to do an investigation. And they figured that the amount of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that was given to Jesus would be equivalent to $400 million today. That's how you honor a king. It's not a little box of trinkets. They had caravans that they took to him. They honored their king. These wealthy, wise men who were kings themselves came and bowed homage, humbly honoring their king with the best they had. But the ultimate gift, the one we really give the gifts for, is Jesus Christ himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son to us as the ultimate gift. And people out there scorn and reject this gift all the time. He gave him to us for our salvation, for our healing, for everything that we need. He was given to us. That's why nobody celebrates Buddha's birthday or Confucius's birthday or Allah's birthday, because they didn't give anything. They took. God's the one who gave. God's the one who gave. You know, on this Christmas season, I'm just going to encourage everyone to go out and take the wonderful spirit of Christmas to people. Now, they tell us we're supposed to say Happy Holidays. And a couple years ago, Walmart put out the decree that nobody would say Merry Christmas in their stores. Sales went down so fast, they changed that decree within 3 weeks. Christians want to say Merry Christmas, and they want to be appreciated for it. And Sam Walton, by the way, was a very devout Christian. I don't know what's happened to the company since he died, but he was a very devout man. I say Merry Christmas to people all the time. Nobody's ever really gotten offended at me. They know that my heart is kind. I'm not imposing some God upon them. I wish them happiness for their season that they're in. One guy did come to me and say, hey, you should say Happy Holidays. It's politically correct to say Happy Holidays. I said, you know, I respect where you come from. However, the way I look at it, without Christmas, there wouldn't be any holidays. Therefore, I say Merry Christmas to you. I wish you blessings in the season. If you don't believe, that's fine. I respect that. But this is the season of Christmas. It's a season of giving. It's a season of love. It's a season of peace. It's a season of joy. Even Santa Claus knows it. Peace on earth and joy to all. Come on. It's all about joy and fun and fellowship and friendship and getting together with people. And sometimes it's stressful and sometimes it's challenging and so forth, you know. But when you do something in love, I remember it for years. When I was 12 or 13 years old, my sister wanted the album Carole King Tapestry. It was the hottest album of the year that year. So I went out, because it was Illinois, I could do this. I shoveled snow, shoveled driveways and walkways, and I earned the $8 I needed to buy that album. It was sold out everywhere I went. I couldn't drive, so I had to go on buses to 15 different stores. And finally I found one where it shouldn't be. Now this is God, in my opinion. I believe somebody else put it back, so they come in and get it later. But I had to walk through this thing, and I looked at this one spot, and there it was, right there, the last album anywhere in the city. To this day, my sister remembers the fact that I did that for her. Small thing. But I love this girl. Just love. And I'm grateful that I came from such a loving family. And I'm grateful that I married into such a loving family. This Christmas season. And even after that. Let's just treat everybody with the love that Christ wants us to treat them with. When a person walks up and says, what's different about you? You can tell them a story about a baby that was born and given for them. And maybe, just maybe, one more person will come into the fold. And that is the real reason for Christmas, to get more people into the kingdom. So although there's too much gift giving and too much hustle and too much bustle and too much promotion and too much this and too much that, let's remember that God is still using every bit of that to bless him, to honor him, and to respect him. So on that note, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.